The disciples of the Lord had been watching steadfastly the Lord, and it made a very interesting observation. Their observation was that they saw the Lord sneak out or spending time early in the hours of the day praying. He'll spend time just muttering to himself. They knew what he was doing. And then during the day, they didn't hear him praying that much. All they saw him doing was making statements. Receive your healing. See. Hear. Walk. They've not seen anything like this before. They weren't seeing him praying like the Pharisees, who made a whole tradition out of their time of prayer. And with those people, they didn't see the power of God manifesting anything either. They saw them arguing all the time about who was right about this scripture or that scripture, that, you know, is there resurrection, is there no resurrection, people live after that, or don't they, and so on and so forth. And here's this guy. He's not doing anything that these guys are doing. There's many of them, and there's one of him. What is the secret? They're thinking. What is his secret? Why is it that he's like this and like they like that? And he's getting these results and they are not getting anything. So they came to him and they said, we think we know what the secret is. And we want you to teach us. Teach us exactly what you do. I think they were expecting him to give them a very elaborate teaching. But he just said, tell you what, okay. If you want to pray, this is what you got to do. Pray like this. Matthew 6 and verse 9. Teach us to pray. Was a question. His response is, after this manner, therefore pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What? Okay, that's fine. And he goes on and he tells them, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And this is it? Yes. What did he just teach them, though? I thought, you're doing the healing over here. We see you. You say, be healed. Receive your miracle. We don't see any of that in here. When we ask you to teach us how to pray, we thought you were going to teach us, you know, step by step. You know, this is how you pray for the sick. Okay? Take some oil. Stand them before you. Lay your hands on them. Do this and do this step by step by step by step. None of that. No. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. What did you just tell them? So the first thing you need to do when you pray is this. Don't pray the prayer based on your need. Pray the prayer that you pray based on God being glorified first. Hallelujah. God, I am because I want you to be glorified. Whatever it is I'm going to ask you for right now, it's about your glory. It's about you being glorified. It's about you being extolled. It's about you being worshipped. It's about you being adored. It's about you, when people see what you have done, that they will say, wow, God is a good God. God, you are so good. You did it. You did it. Wow. Look at what God has done. It has changed my life. It has transformed this person's life. It has brought life and healing and deliverance to this man, to this woman, to this boy, to this girl. It's about you, Lord. It's about you. It's all about you, that song goes. It's all about you, Jesus. Jesus says, when you come, start out, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father. Hallowed be thy name. This message actually is a message that should take me months to teach. Because here I should go on and start talking about the names of the Father. Here I should spend some time talking about the fact that he is a Father and what that means. But we'll do that some other time. But understand, first of all, that he is Father. Father. My Father. What does that mean to me? It means that he is my provider. It means that he is my protector. It means that I came out of him. That he is the seed that became me the fruit. That I am like him, my father, and you are in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. You see, when you talk about my Father who art in heaven, it is an understanding that whether he's with you, and we know that he's always with us, or he's away from you. That you have not allowed bitterness, strife, anger, anything to separate you, whether he's away from you or with you. And I do understand how painful it can be for a father to be absent from his child. That it is a painful thing when a father is not a protector, he's not a provider, he's not an instructor, he's not a guide who helps guide you through life. But the very statement that says, my Father who art in heaven, tells me that there's sometimes when it seems like there's some kind of separation, but you still need to honor the one who's Father in your life. I think honoring somebody who doesn't even deserve to receive the honor is a powerful, powerful force in the life of a man or a woman. You say, he doesn't deserve it. He's an absentee father, but I'm not going to use my mouth to curse him. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying to you. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. As difficult as that is, I'm here, he's there. But somehow, I'm not going to dishonor you. I don't know why you are there and you're not here with me, but I'm not going to dishonor you. In the place of prayer, God is saying to us, I want you to understand when you come to me, when you come to me, understand that you come to me honoring me. Whether you feel me like I'm with you or you don't feel me at all. There must not be strife between us. Only love and honor. Because in that place, that's where I'm going to glorify you. Jesus at the cross said, my Father, why have you forsaken me? And God shook everything. Shook the earth. Shook everything to let him know, no! I am not an absentee father. It hurts me to see you where you are right now. I'm going to shake everything to make certain that grace rests upon you. Amen? My Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Honored be your name. Glorified be your name. Exclusive. Yeah, exclusive. Because that which is hallowed is separated. Saying, when you pray, say, God, you are so special, you are not in the league with anybody. You're not in the league. You are not, hey, everybody else is over there. You are number one. So I'm not talking to my bank. I'm not talking to my boss. I'm not talking to my friend. I'm not talking to my rich uncle. I'm not talking to anybody. It's you. It's you. It's only you. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom, let it come. What is that? The kingdom of God. It's not going through inflation or deflation, or it's not going through famine, it's not going through confusion, it's not going through sickness and disease, it's not going through anything that is rebellious, because when God found rebellion, that which is contrary to his will, he kicked that being out. Hallelujah. So anything that is contrary to me, kick out. Hallelujah. So God, just like your kingdom that kicks out anything that is contrary, kick out anything that is contrary to my well-being. Kick out anything that is contrary to the wholeness of my marriage, of my family, of my finances, of my relationships. Whatever it is that is contrary, kick it out. Remove it. Remove it. I don't want it here. I want your kingdom. Your kingdom. Let it come. Let it come. If it is coming, it is because it's not here yet. So I want it to come. Let it come. Release it. Release your kingdom. Release the like of what you have there here. Somebody shout hallelujah. Jesus was talking to them about something that was way out there that affected everything about their lives. And so for him to effectively do that in point form, pray like this, and was invoking within them the in-depth truth of every statement. Hallowed be thy name. Your name, Jehovah Nissi. Last Thursday, a dear brother, Reverend
Greg had a slide of the names of God. It was a powerful time, just reflecting on who God is. That is my Jehovah Nissi, my banner, the banner of victory over my life. Jehovah Shalom, my peace, the one who causes nothing to be missing, nothing to be broken in my life, the one who fights for me because the God of peace crushes Satan under my feet. Many years ago, the Lord asked me the question. He said, "Son, what is the most violent word in the Bible?" I said, "Violence." He says, "Oh, that's not it." That's not it. I said, "What is it?" He said, "Peace." I said, "Peace?" He said, "Yes." He said, "For my peace to be present in your life, it has to garrison, stand like God, a soldier around your heart and your mind. And for it to do that, it has to fight against anything that is contrary to you, to stop it so that you can stay calm in here." It says, peace is a violent word. Wow. He is my Jehovah Shalom. He's my Jehovah Shammah, the God who is present right here. He's with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He is God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who goes before me, with me, and after me. Above me, beneath me, everywhere he surrounds me with a compass of his favor. Crowns my life with his goodness. He's all these things. Jehovah Sitkenu, Jehovah Makedesh, God who is my righteousness and my sanctification. He's that too. He's my refuge. He's my Ebenezer. Jehovah, the self-existent God. The one who says, "I am that I am. Whatever it is that you need me to be, I am that. When you need a door, I'm going to be, I am the door. When you need a physician, I am your physician. When you need an architect, I am your architect. I'm wisdom to you. I'm all of these things to you. Hallowed be thy name. God, I'm calling on my doctor." And you're not thinking about Dr. John Peters. You're talking about him. Hallelujah, I need my doctor now. Forever I needed a doctor, I need one now. And Lord, oh God, I come to you, my doctor. God, you know why my hands are hurting. I don't understand why my hands are hurting. I don't know why my stomach is hurting. I don't know why my head is hurting. I don't know why my back is hurting. I don't know why my knee is hurting. I don't know why my toes are aching. I don't know, God, I don't know anything. But I come to you because I know you know all things. You can come to him and remind yourself that he's your great surgeon. Hallelujah. God, I need parts in my body. I need a new set of kidneys. My kidneys are hurting. I don't want this old one anymore. Give me a new one. God, when I sleep today, do surgery on me and give me brand new kidneys. I remember you. I know. And when you wake up in the morning, just like Jesus, when he works, you know, when he got up to the daytime, what he had corrected during the night time, talking to God, seeing what God was doing, because that was all he was doing. He was trying to find out what is your agenda for today? What is your itinerary for today? Where am I supposed to be going today? I am sure that there are days that they were in one city, in one community, and they thought they were going to be there for another 1 week because they had a very good meeting the day before, and the next morning Jesus says, "Let's go somewhere else." Why are we going? Why are we? I thought we're staying here today. No, let's go somewhere else. Why are we going? Because the pillar is moving. I heard the father say we should go. We should go over there. We should go over there. He has a guy over there, right there at the pool. I want to go see the guy. And one day they came and they expected Jesus to move right away. And Jesus says, "Oh no, we're staying here." Hey, they just told us that your friend is very sick. It's not up to that. And he stays there for 3 days and the brother dies. And when the guy is dead, he stands up and says, let's go. Go where? Let's go back to see my friend. But they try to stone you over there. Why are you going back? Well, because the guy is dead. Well, what are you talking about? The guy is dead. You just said this sickness is not unto death. It says, well, he is dead, but let's go. And goes there and raises the guy back to life. On the basis of what? On the basis of what he saw the Father doing. During those secret times when he was praying, he was peering into the heavens and seeing what God was doing and checking on God's timing. Because sometimes you might hear God, but the timing of God may be different from yours. God, you see, it's not every time that God said something that it means it is happening right now. Sometimes it's not happening right now. Sometimes it's happening 40 years from now. But God sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow, all in one shot, from his perspective. He sees it all. He sees it all. So you want to know how to pray? I tell you, this is what you do. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. See, that's what you pray. Wait a minute. Hold it. We need to pray the will of God to be done in the earth as it is in heaven? You mean it doesn't just happen automatically? No. How is it going to happen? How it happens is I see what he said, I hear what he said, and here on the earth, because I have a connection. I say the same thing over here. And when I say it over here, what is happening over there happens here, because the connection of heaven and the earth is made up by words. Yeah. Heaven is connected to the earth by words. That's how God connects with you. That's how God connects with me. That's how we get connected to each other. Words are powerful. That's why when he came, all he said was, this be. See. Walk. Hear. Cleansed. Jesus, why did you say that? Because I heard the Father say it. You know, the reality is this. Want to hear something? The reality is this, that sometimes we do what we call protocol. It's just something you do because you're doing something that makes somebody feel comfortable that you did something. Not every prayer that is prayed when you have a need is a prayer that's going to change your situation. Don't be disappointed. But just listen to it. Because that's not what God is doing right that very moment. And if God is not doing it, it's not happening. We just went through a process, a feel-good process. I just got some prayers prayed for me. The real thing is, God, I have talked to you. You said I should go to a man or a woman of God, the elders, you pray for me. And he says that whatever sins I'm committed will be forgiven me, and I'll be healed. And I'm going to go and receive prayers. But this is what I do know. If you haven't done it in heaven, it is not going to be done in the earth. So, I want you to do something in the heavens. Please, are you listening? You sure you're listening? Okay, please get this. Because your answered prayer is going to be released in the natural by a vessel that is going to speak into your situation. And the reason sometimes you need somebody else to speak into your situation is because of the key power of humility. You not becoming puffed up, thinking you can do everything. God causes us to be dependent on each other. So God, I want you to speak. And I want whoever it is that you're leading me to say what you are saying. Open their eyes to see. You need to pray for me or any man or woman of God. God, open my pastor's eyes to see what you are doing so that he will pray and declare done here on the earth what you have already done in heaven. Because I know this, if he doesn't see it and if he doesn't hear it and if he doesn't say what needs to be said, my goose is cooked. You know what needs to be said. I remember many years ago, I got called to Seven Oaks Hospital by this family that were part of this ministry many years ago. He said, my mother is dying. And there's nothing they can do for her. Will you come? So I took off and I went to the hospital, and there she was laying. They didn't even bother putting her in any room. She was out. And I got there, and what the Lord said for me to say was, all systems go. That's what. I see these wires all jungled up. I see it. There's these wires all messed up. And the Lord says, just say, all systems go. And I laid my hands on this woman and I said, all systems go. And this woman that was totally pale, you can see her color changing right there. Her color changes. Blood is flowing, and she opens her eyes and she gets up and she leaves that hospital healed, restored, and made whole. You know what? You know what? I could have been there rebuking everything in wherever, and that woman would be dead. All God said was, all systems go till this morning. All systems go. But God was simply saying, I've solved the problem. You see how messed up all these wires are? There's no way you're going to fix it. You can't fix this. You're not going to fix this. But say what I'm saying. Just say it. And I said what he was saying. And I got the result that God wanted. All systems go. Boom. Changed. It is about the kingdom of God. It is about it being done here in the earth as it is in heaven. But it says, let thy kingdom come. Let it come. Release it. Let it be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. And then it says, and I'll stop here because I'm going to revisit this word at some other time. Give us this day our daily bread. And as I said this morning, we think it is. Give me this day my daily Big Mac. Give me this day my daily Whopper. Give me this day my daily French fries, my fried fish. For the Nigerians, give me this day my... jollof rice. Yes. Hallelujah. But that's not exactly what it's talking about. It's about giving me this day my daily assignment. For my meat is to do the will of my Father and to finish it. That's my meat. That's what drives me. That's what gives me life every day. That God, I have an assignment. I'm alive. You trust me. You trust me to be your voice in the earth. You're trusting me to be your hands in the earth, your feet. You're trusting me to be your eyes. You're trusting. God, give me my daily assignment. I want to be involved. I remember many years ago, my oldest son, he was about 5-6 years old. I was outside washing my car, my vehicle. And I'm shooing him off. Stay away. And this kid says to me, says, if I don't help, how am I going to feel like I'm part of the family? I said, what did this kid? I said, yeah, okay, here is the bucket. How does a six-year-old think this thought? If I'm not helping, how am I supposed to feel like I'm part of the family? Let me get all messed up with you. I want to be in this with you. And when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, it's us saying, God, I'm part of the family. I'm into what you are into. I want to be involved. I want to be right here doing my part. I am not going to be separated from what you are doing in these last days. God, you want souls saved? I'm in this. I'm in this with you. I'm in this work with you. I am here. I have your heartbeat. I want to see lives transformed, minds renewed. I want to see miracles flow richly and powerfully. I want people to be lifted out of their state of defeat, shame, and confusion. I want to be your voice. I want to be your power. I want to be your presence. I want when I step in, people say, oh, finally, we got help. Help has come. Because God, I'm in this with you. That's what that's all about. That's what it's all about. Being part of the answer that God brings to our world. So you see, they are going through something incredibly amazing, and I just scratched the surface of that prayer. We could go on for weeks and we'll see so much from a simple prayer. I know the remarkable thing about it was that this prayer, as originally as it is from the Lord, there were people who had figured out that this maybe is the right way to pray. And the impact of what Jesus was having was not what they were having. Because it is founded
in the root system, anchored in the root system of Father relationship. Relationship. That's where your answered prayer starts from. The relationship. And in that relationship, you know, it's all about Him. That if you're not hungry anymore, it is about Him being glorified. That if you're driving a Rolls Royce down the street, it is about Him, not about you. Look at how wealthy I am. No, look at how good God is. It's all about Him. If you and I focus on that, we need not be jealous of anybody else. Because like Mama said many years ago, do you remember what she said? When some God does something for somebody else, you do what? Me too. Me too. God, hey, I see you distributing some stuff. Me too. Me too. Thank you, Lord. Wow, I saw what you did for that person. Me too. That's it. Why do you spend your time jealous of another person when you can say, me too? Bow your heads with me.